Hallelujah. Amen. Well, welcome everybody. Amen. It's good to see everyone. Amen. Amen. Hopefully it's good for y'all to see me. Amen. So God is good. So we're going to continue through. Yes, he is, Mother. That's it. It's definitely good to see you. Thank you. You know, so we're going to continue. We're going to prayerfully, well, and actually, we're going to finish up Matthew 24 today. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to speak that. We're going to finish up because we got a guest speaker next week. Amen. And so, just to rehash, you know, we got to this point where, you know, Jesus talks about the temple being destroyed, right, at the beginning of Matthew 24. And then, you know, we talked about how that was hard for the disciples to understand that, right? But, you know, they approached Jesus with like a three-part question and asked him, when will these things be? What will be the sign of his return? And what will be the signs of the end of the age? And Jesus goes on and he starts to describe things that we're all familiar with, wars, rumors of wars, pestilences and things like that, and how they're going to increase. Right. And we talked about how those things are not necessarily a sign of his second coming, but things that Jesus is saying, look, all these things are going to happen, but the end is not yet. Right. And he's giving all through Matthew 24. He's telling us and he's warning the disciples and he's warning us because we're disciples, too. Right. Because he doesn't want us to be deceived. Right. And unfortunately, there will be people. And there have been people that have been deceived in that aspect, right? But then, you know, he gets to the point where he gives the sign of basically his second coming, right? And that was in verse 15 of Matthew 24 with the abomination of desolation. And we talked about last week that basically when that happens, the clock starts ticking, right? We know from Daniel and we know from Revelation that there's 3.5 years from that point that tribulation is going to happen. Great tribulation. Then he starts talking about the great tribulation. Right. And we left off at, I believe, verse 21, I think. I read verse 21, but I'm going to read it again. All right. So Matthew 24, verse 21. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. So we talked about how that's going to be a rough time for people who are going to be around, you know, not only for Israel, but also for believers at that time. Right. So I talked about I don't know if it was last week or a few weeks before that. You know, we get caught up a lot of times in thinking that, you know, when the rapture is going to take place. And I talked about how there's no scripture that describes specifically when the rapture, whether or not it's going to be before the tribulation, middle tribulation, or whenever. Right. So now I don't debate with anybody in reference to when the rapture is going to take place. Right. If it takes place before the tribulation, fantastic. Right. Outstanding. Great. Right. But what happens if it doesn't? Think about how many people are going to fall away if it doesn't. Right. Because you say all this time, y'all been telling me that this is going to happen. This is going to happen. Right. So I'm not here to knock your belief system. But understand, if we're here during the tribulation period, hey, Pastor Rasan warned that, hey, you know what? We may not be raptured before the tribulation period. Right. We got to be ready. Right. And we're going to see that is what Jesus is desiring for us to be. All right. Verse 22. All right, so now we're at the great tribulation period here, right? So verse 22, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Right. So what's the elect? So the elect here is not the Jewish people. The elect people are those who are called by God. No matter where you look at it in the New Testament, the elect always refers to believers. OK, so There are going to be believers here during the tribulation period. So he's saying, look, the days were going to be shortened, not shortened as in 24 hours days becoming less, but that 3.5 year period is only going to be 3.5 period. Why? Because it's going to be, we think today's times are hard to take. During the Great Tribulation is really going to be hard to take. And he's showing it, only making it for 3.5 years. Why? For the believer's sake. Because he says here in verse 24 that false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if who? If possible, even the elect. Not that the elect will be deceived, but there are going to be great signs and wonders taking place. This is why it's dangerous for us as believers to get caught up in signs and wonders. Yes, signs and wonders still take place today. By the grace of God, miracles still happen. But we don't look for those things per se. But we are to be, we have to trust the word of God. There's going to, see, we already know that there's going to be an Antichrist and there's going to be a false prophet there, that they're going to do some great signs. And people are going to flock to that. Right? But at the same time, he says here, again, there's false Christ, that's plural, and false prophets that's going to rise. And then he says in verse 23, people are going to say, look, here is the Christ, or there. And then he's saying, do not believe it. In other words, people are going to be deceived during this time. But why? Why won't the elect be deceived? One, because we're called by God. But two, because we understand the scriptures. And three, he says it in here in verse 25. See, I have told you beforehand. So he's warned us. He's saying, look, so anybody that's deceived, so when we have people who get taken aback, whether it's by false teachers, false prophets, whatever it is, or they start believing certain things, and they go and they pass away, and they're in hell, and they stand before Christ, and they're saying, Lord, Lord, but this person told me this, this person told, Jesus is warning us. This is why we have to read the scriptures. He's warning us. That's why the elect won't be deceived. The elect won't be deceived during that time. See, there's a movement out there today that's focusing so much on the signs and wonders, and we talked about it when we were at the house with this new apostolic reformation movement. It's focusing on the signs and wonders, the miracles and things like that. Jesus doesn't want us to focus on that. Jesus wants us to focus on Him. Amen. That's what we should be focusing on Jesus Christ. Right? Not the miracles or things like that. We have to understand, I think I talked about this a long time ago, that Israel saw some of the greatest miracles. And guess what? They still fell away. They still fell away. Israel saw more miracles than we can imagine. All of us in here put together doesn't compare to what Israel saw. But guess what? They still worshiped and sought after idols and things like that. So to the point where even those who were of other nations looking at them when they had the golden calf, looking at them worshiping the golden calf, said, what's the matter with you? You had a God that delivered you, but then yet you're going to do this? And you're going to minimize the God that you serve? They're shaking their head. Right? During this tribulation period, people are going to be deceived, but not the elect. Why? Because the elect are called by God. All right, so let's keep going. 26. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will come the Son, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So in other words, it's not going to be a secret. Right? Some people that will talk today like there's going to be some secret rapture or anything. When the Lord comes, trust me, everybody's going to know. Everybody's going to know. Everybody's going to be able to see it. And then those that do see it, that are not saved, not born again, are going to be like, oh, we made a mistake. And then it's going to be too late for millions of people. All right. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered. Verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So, immediately after the tribulation. So, Jesus talked about the things in this chapter, what's going to lead up prior to the tribulation. Then he talks about what's going to take place during the tribulation. And then now he's saying what? Immediately after the tribulation. Right? Then, verse 30, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So why will they mourn? They're going to realize that they made a mistake. That they were serving somebody. They were serving their own flesh, serving idols, doing what they want to do, and not serving the true and living God. See, people can mock us now. That's okay. Right? And I'm going to say we'll get the last laugh, but they're going to be people suffering. But in the end, we will have the last laugh for those that are mocking us now. That's okay. See, some will say, oh, I don't believe in the Bible. How can somebody believe in the Bible? Because we know God is real. Right? We know God is real. Right? So, there's going to be people like that. There's been people like that for years. Okay? There's going to be people like that after us whenever until the Lord comes, there's going to be people that mocking. Oh, and Peter talks about it, right? Where he says, oh, people are going to say, oh, you've been talking about the Lord coming for years, but he still hasn't come, right? But guess what? He's coming because he's not a God that will lie. Verse 31, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the earth. Now, that's after the, again, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation, right? So I read that. I read that in verse 31. I almost dropped this. I read that. And I thought about it. I said, man, this sounds like another particular scripture. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Matthew 13, let's turn there. Keep your finger there. We'll come back. Matthew 13. All right, we there? Amen. All right, so the parable of the wheat and the tares. All right, verse 24. Another parable he put to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain has sprouted and produced a crop, when the tares also appeared, so the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? Verse 28. He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no. Lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now let's look down at verse 36. As he is Jesus himself, he's explaining this. Now this ain't Pastor Rasan. This is Jesus. Verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? Jesus Christ. Right? The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Verse 40. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the what? At the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Right? So we can go back to Matthew 24. All right, so here, who has ears to hear? So, you know, we get taken aback sometimes when we hear, we talked about it before, when we hear other people who say that they're Christians, but don't carry themselves that way. Right? Again, it's by their fruit that we're going to know them. Right? But at the same time, sometimes we want that fruit to be manifested immediately. Right? When somebody gets born again. But we have to understand, when a tree is planted, right? Now, I'm not a farmer anybody or anything, but Marie plants, right? It doesn't grow up right away, does it? No. It'll sprout up, and then eventually the fruit will come. Right? But you got to still keep, continue to what? Nurture, take care of it, water it. Right? So those, again, that's what's going to separate the wheats and the tares. Right? So the tares are going to come in, and they're going to intermingle with us believers, and they're going to appear to be believers. Right? But in the end, the angels are going to come and separate the real ones from the artificial imitation ones. Right? So we can give lip service as humans. We can give lip service, and we can let people know, oh, yeah, I'm saved. I'm born again. I believe in God. But what is your fruit showing? Right? What is the character that's being manifested in you? Because ultimately, Christ knows our hearts. We don't know everybody's heart, but Jesus knows our hearts. Right? So when he returns, he's going to gather his elect. Right? And those who are serving him are going to be in the kingdom. Those who are not serving him, they're going to be somewhere else. Right? All right. So where did I leave off at? I didn't go back to 24. Sorry. Thank you. All right. So ultimately, we have to be ready. All right. Verse 32. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So all these people that are mocking us, that's okay. We got to stay true to the word. We got to stand upon the word of God, right? So when the word of God tells us to live a lifestyle of holiness, we got to stand upon the word of God. When the word of God tells us to what? Love our neighbor, we got to stand upon the word of God. When the word tells us to love our brothers, right? We got to stand upon the word of God, right? We don't stand upon man's opinion, but we got to stand upon the word of God, because man's opinion will pass away. Man's opinion will change every few years. Right? The doctrine of man will change every few years. Right? Because even with the prosperity movement, it wasn't always a prosperity movement teaching. Right? And now the prosperity teachings today are not as big as it was in the early 2000s. Why? Because the doctrine of man will pass away. But the word of God will not pass away. Amen. So no matter how hard it gets for us, we have to stay ready. Verse 36, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So all these people trying to predict when the Lord's return is going to be, wasting time, wasting time. And then what we do is we'll flock to that and we'll listen sometimes. We're like, okay, well, that makes sense. And they'll talk about some Jewish calendar, Hebrew calendar. Don't even listen to that. You're wasting your time. Because Jesus right here, whose words he says will not pass away, he says nobody knows. Nobody knows. Verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came, and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So, you know, we know days of Noah, things were not good in society at that time, right? We know that sin was prevalent in the days of Noah. So was demonic oppression. Demonic oppression at that time. But that's not really what Jesus is talking about here. What he is talking about, what he's referring to, is people just going about their normal routine, their normal life, and not being ready. Right? He's saying, look, everybody's just living their life, doing their things. Why? Because he knows that it's going to be a period of time where it's going to be a long time before he comes back. Right? From the time of his ascension to the time he returns, Jesus knows it's going to be a long time. And then people are going to think that he's not coming back. Or people are going to take it for granted. Even believers will take it for granted. Let's keep going. Then two men, verse 40, then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Right? So he's saying watch. What does watch mean? Watch means to be vigilant, to be active. Right? So at the same time, what are we being active about? We're supposed to be active doing our Father's business. Now, the Father's business for each and every one of us is different. We have to do what we're called to do. God has blessed us with gifts and talents and things like that. But we have to be active in doing those things and not sitting down, because what's going to happen is you're going to have people that's going to church saying, oh, he's not coming. So guess what? I have time to do this. Right? Because just to think about it. Let's be honest here with ourselves. If we knew the day, the time, the very exact hour or minute that Jesus Christ was coming, will we truly live for him all those times? Human nature will take over. And our mind will take over. Because some of us will probably be out there in the clubs, dancing, waving our hands still, no matter how old we are. Right? Some of us will be getting drunk. Right? Some of us will be doing things because, like, I have time. I have time. I have time. Because I know he's not coming back for this until this time. But he's saying to be ready, because we don't know. Why? Because when we're vigilant and we don't know the day or the time, the hour when he's going to come, and we're serving him, that's showing that we have a relationship with him. That's showing that we love him, right? That's showing, hey, we're going to obey his commandments no matter how long it takes, right? No matter if he doesn't return in a lifetime, guess what? We're going to die still serving him. And then when we stand before him, when the angels escort us, if we die before he comes, now we're here. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Right? But there's going to be some servants that they're like, oh, I got time. All right, so let's keep going. Verse 45 to 49. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Who then is a faithful and wise servant?
Whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master,
when he comes, will find doing the work, doing the will of God, not taking advantage, saying, oh, I got time. But we have to be faithful, and we have to be wise servants. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. Why? Because we can be trusted. Right? We know that we'll have a place in the kingdom. Right? We know that, yes, that we'll have a mansion with our name on it. Right? And we can be trusted. He's going to know that. But let's keep going. 48. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming. Notice what he says, that evil servant. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants, we'll come back to that word, and to eat and drink with the drunkards, let's stop right there. So, fellow servants, Fellow servants. That word in the Greek means service of the same master. Service of the same master. Right? So, take a look around. Take a look around. Right? Now we got to figure out whether or not who's faithful and wise and who's the evil servant. Well, we don't have to figure it out, but because the evil servant, he says this, what? Will begin to beat the fellow servants. Right? Beat. So he's saying beat here, but it's also take advantage of their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Right? Have you ever been in church where you get treated wrongly? You got that one person and they good with the pastor and they just treat you horribly, treat everybody horribly. Right? Or drunkard. That one who's getting drunk, but then showing back up to church the next day. Doing praise and worship. Or being an elder, being a deacon, or being a pastor. Right? He's saying they're fellow servants. Right now, on the flip side, in today's time, we have pastors that will read that and say, well, you know what? That's okay. Right? Because you're still a fellow servant. And because you're a fellow servant, then you know what? You may not get no rewards, but you'll still be in the kingdom. Well, it's in red. So let's see what Jesus has to say about that. See, this is why we have to read. All right? Verse 50. The master of that servant, the master of what servant? The evil servant. The master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Is there weeping and gnashing of teeth whenever we hear about heaven? When is there weeping and gnashing of teeth? When we talk about Gehenna and hell. Right? But we will have people today that will teach that, say, okay, but you're still a fellow servant. You're a brother in Christ. Nope. That's Jesus. This is not Pastor Russell. That's Jesus saying it.
That's right.
Right? This is why we have to be the sounding board. Right? This is why we have to warn people. This is why we have to be billboards of the Word of God. This is why we can't compromise the Word of God. Not just in the church, but in our own personal lives. Right? Because when we do things, watch this, we become evil servants when we don't love. We become evil servants when we don't show mercy. Right? We have to avoid that. This is why we're supposed to love our brethren, love our neighbors, love our enemies. Why? Because that's the way of Christ. Right? Remember, this is the kingdom that the scribes and the Pharisees didn't want. But what did Jesus call them? Hypocrites. Right? But what does he say here? The evil servant will have their place with the hypocrites, with the scribes and the Pharisees who are not walking the way he called us to walk. Right? This is how serious it is. It's not. We have to be a reflection of Christ. We have to be beacons of light in this world, and we have to speak the truth. We speak the truth in love, but what's the truth that we're supposed to speak? We're supposed to speak the Word of God. Amen. Right? Because that's what he says. Speak the Word of God. Matter of fact, give me a minute, because I want to just double check. Turn to Acts 6. Close out. All right, we there?
Amen.
All right, Acts chapter 6, verse 7. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So, what spread? The word of God, right? Not man's opinion. But it's the word of God. See, we get so caught up on the people talking about the Great Commission. The Great Commission is us spreading the word of God, making disciples. That's how we make disciples, by spreading the word of God, not our opinions. Right? So we have to be careful of that. So You know, I reflected back even as I read that, because I actually read that this morning, actually when I was walking the dog, matter of fact. And I reflected back even to when I was in Navy on active duty, and I didn't give people my opinion. I just gave them the word of God. Some received it, some didn't. Right? But what it did was it caused them to even, not that they all confessed Christ right away, it caused them to go and read, they say, and even on my job today, hey, what's the scripture for that, what you're telling me? And they'll go back and read. Why? Because now they're turning into disciples. Because now they're seeking. Right? And then they will come back and they say, okay, I read this, but what about this? That's discipleship. That's how we grow the church, by spreading the word of God. Not our opinions, not man's wisdom, right? Not the ABCs of this and that. It's the word of God. And this is why we have to display our fruit for everyone to see. We can't be, and again, doesn't mean we're going to be perfect, right? So don't let nobody put you in the box saying, oh, you did this, you did that. Hey, we're not going to be perfect. Why? Because we're still human beings. We still have this flesh. All right? So until we take this flesh off, we can still succumb to some weaknesses. Right? But this is why we have to spend time with the Lord. And we have to read. Right? Because unfortunately, too much garbage and nonsense is being spread in the church. And people are thinking it's biblical when it's not biblical. Right, there's a particular televangelist that will say, and prayerfully y'all don't watch him, but he would say all the time, you know, was it, get ready. We got to be ready.
That's right.
We have to be ready. Because even if the Lord comes tomorrow, are we ready? Or if he calls us home to be with him, are we ready? Right, because I hate to, a lot of Christians probably not ready, because there's a reason why you're afraid to die. But we have to trust the word of God, right? That Jesus' words would not fail. The scriptures would not fail. He doesn't want us to be deceived, right? So even as we come into these end times and all these things increasing, whether it's World War III, it doesn't matter. We have to trust him. We have to trust him that God is in control and he knows all. We don't. And if he chooses not to come back to 50 years from now, so be it. But we have to continue to trust him. And we have to know that, hey, we can't be deceived, because there's a lot of things out here that will cause deception, cause us to say, well, you know what? And start getting us to think like that. No, we have to watch. And we have to be ready. And we can't just be like, all right, well, thinking, well, I have tomorrow. Because tomorrow's not promised.
That's right.
Last I read. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So we'll start right there and we'll jump and see, because all that leads into 25. And see, Matthew 25 gets taught a certain way. But ultimately, Matthew 25 is about really faithful and wise, evil, weeds and tares, who's ready and who's not ready. Right? Just because we come to church doesn't make us ready.
That's right.
Right? Because guess what? We've all been in churches where we sat next to tares and they're worshiping right along with us. We all been to church. We've been on our jobs and we've come across believers and we're thinking they're faithful and wise, but they're evil servants. Right? But we can't be concerned about that. We have to be concerned with this one first. We have to look in the mirror first. We can't be concerned, well, that one's not doing that. Not that. What are we doing? How are we living? Right now, when we're living right, now we can go back and we can teach somebody the word of God. But if we're not living right, we have no business, no place trying to teach somebody something. We have to get ourselves right. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Father.